Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. It is already the 29th day of December 2008 and the waning days and hours of 2008. He has a long gray beard. He swings side to side. The year will soon elapse and it will die, and a fresh new year will be ushered in. Thank you so much for joining us today. Coming up in 2 hours, we have Kevin Ryan, the engineer who worked at Underwriting Laboratories, who found out that Underwriting Laboratories had done internal tests and found that Tower 1 and 2 and 7 couldn't have fallen the way the government claimed. He then wanted to go public with that information. They told him that he wasn't allowed to, but then he did. He did go ahead and go public, and so they fired him. So Kevin Ryan joining us for a full hour coming up in 2 hours. We're joined for the next 50 minutes by Kevin Ryan. Kevin Ryan, of course, was an engineer working in Underwriting Laboratories and discovered internal studies that had been done by the underwriters, which is Underwriting Laboratories, of the towers, that clearly showed that fire could not have brought those buildings down the way that the government was claiming. So he tried to get them to go public. They wouldn't. He wrote a letter to them publicly about it, and they fired him. So I think it's better for Kevin Ryan to introduce himself, some of his background, the saga he's been through, and the amazing research he's done, not just into thermite and thermate and explosives and the testing of that, but who at NIST is involved in the cover-up. They just so happen to be thermate experts in their own right, with NASA and other groups for missile coupler separation seals and a lot more. So and it's been about 6 months since he dropped those original bombshells here on air. He, of course, works with Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth and other groups, and we are very, very honored to have Kevin Ryan on the show with us today. Kevin, good to talk to you again.
Hi, Alex. It's good to be with you again.
You bet. You got the floor. Describe a little bit about yourself, kind of a recap of this quest you've been on and what it's led you to today and the latest developments.
Okay. I was, as you said, fired from Underwriters Laboratories, and that was over 4 years ago in 2004. And I had been questioning them for about a year or so about the fire resistance testing that they did 40 years before for the World Trade Center towers. They had done fire resistance testing of the steel components used to build the World Trade Center towers, and the CEO had told us about it, and I had spoken with the fire resistance testing manager at the time about it, and they were reluctant to share that information publicly. So we were asking myself and one or two others in the UL about that testing and why the towers could possibly have failed from fire as a result, and couldn't get any answers from the upper management. So I went ahead and wrote a letter to the National Institute of Standards and Technology after I saw one of their draft reports, which I think we've seen now over the years leave a lot lacking. The NIST reports are completely false. Each one of them has been false, and they've contradicted each other. But when they first put out a draft report in October 2004, I wrote them a letter that got me fired from Underwriters Laboratories, where I was laboratory manager and the top manager for one of their divisions. I've since done a lot of writing and research on 9/11, become the co-editor of the Journal of 9/11 Studies with Stephen Jones a few years ago. I am a member of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. We also have a local group here where I live called the 9/11 Working Group. And so I do a lot of writing and research, presentations around the country, and whatever I can to get the truth out about 9/11.
Why did you first question the collapse of the towers as an engineer? And then let's walk through the evidence of cover-up, trying to suppress you and others, and the kind of a recap of the evidence that has come out that continues to make a compelling case for controlled demolition. And then the new research that's been developed that is, well, in a whodunit sense, bombshell. But then this isn't a whodunit. This isn't, some PBS mystery theater. This is the real world. This is inside job material, and this shakes the very foundation of our world to its core.
Well, yeah, and the reason I first started questioning it was for, I think, a number of the reasons that you do what you do, Alex, and trying to get the word out and getting people prepared for a pretty big transition here in society. And, you know, it's coming. There's nothing we can really do about it, but it is important to be aware of the facts of what has happened over the last few years and try to prepare ourselves for the future. And so, you know, the first things that I noticed were if this steel has been tested for fire resistance for a number of hours, in fact, in furnaces at temperatures that exceeded the temperatures that we all agreed actually existed in the towers, then how could the towers have failed from fire? Those questions were not answered, and they still have not been answered. The NIST group has done a lot of tap dancing about the issue, and they've given us a number of false stories.
I was about to say, they're constantly changing their story. It's always something new, and now they are admitting free fall of Building 7. They're having to admit molten steel. I mean, the laws of science are against them.
Yeah, absolutely they are. And so, you know, ultimately they do have to admit all those things, but there was a presentation that was occurring since 2002 when they started their report, their investigation, and then this year when they finally put out the World Trade Center 7 report. It was always kind of a piecemeal presentation, almost as if they were asking us, do you believe this? They'd have a public media presentation, and they'd say, what about this?
Trial balloons.
Yeah. You know, and some of us, like myself, would speak up and say, hey, that's not going to work. And then they'd come up with something different. And with World Trade Center 7, there's nothing more blatant than that. I mean, they came up with the diesel fuel story. It was certainly the diesel fuel, and all of the major media reported this over and over again. Or it was the scooped out theory, the towers had fallen.
And they've now reversed themselves on all of that. Or
yeah.
Then it was shoddy construction when the building was
right.
Overbuilt, as you know. Have you seen the new video with Brian Williams on there interviewing the deputy fire chief, one of the commanders, who says, well, we were ready to bring it down. You know, there was talk of us bringing it down ourselves. I mean, how many videos does it take of police and firemen saying the feds were getting ready to bring it down? I mean, not just Silverstein. I mean, do we have to have like a footage of Bush with a plunger?
Right. The extent of the cover-up is really so incredible. And I think that's part of the value of 9/11 truth. You know, I'm interested in how this much deception could have been carried on for so long, and how each of us as the listeners of this story, you know, kind of participated, or some of us, in allowing it to be just a huge lie for so long. So I'm interested in that sort of thing as well, but mainly the physical research that we're doing now has to do with the alternative hypothesis, and now really the only, not only hypothesis, but theory, since it's got so much evidence, the demolition theory, or what I call the deceptive demolition theory, so that people don't forget that there was, it's really based on deception.
Now, this is like the theory of gravity. It's been proven, but it, you know, they kind of call it a law, but it started out as a theory. You know, the public thinks conspiracy and theory, that number one, there's no government conspiracies, though history's full of them. And, you know, Nixon got in trouble for a government conspiracy. And then they said there's no such thing as theories. Well, we know the official theory of why these towers turned into matchsticks and dust. We know that's a fraud. So we set about going, okay, what does the evidence show is the most probable hypothesis? And there you have it.
Right, and it's not going to be extremely simple. It's not going to be simply the question of whether planes brought the buildings down or somebody just decided to do a typical demolition of the World Trade Center towers. That's not the question. The question is, did the planes bring the buildings down, which we know is not true, or did somebody fly planes into the buildings in order to present the idea that the planes brought the buildings down while doing a deceptive demolition? And so if we keep all that in mind, part of the deception is having a fire exist where it would not have otherwise existed. Other parts are creating fire in the elevator shafts that is so extreme that would weaken the core of the buildings. And also very likely, from what we've heard from testimony, explosions in the basements as well. So it was a complicated process.
Which, by the way, were preparatory. Those are way before the main collapse was initiated, with the towers, with the top-down demolition versus the classical or more classical bottom-up situation with Building 7. I want to come back with Kevin Ryan and, Kevin, have you walk through that and then all the new thermite information that you have. But, I mean, stepping back from this, do you ever wake up at 3 a.m. at night sweaty like I do or freaked out? You know, consciously we know it's an inside job. The evidence shows that. But to like, come to grips kind of like, you know, when you're not conscious and awake and psychologically dealing with it, when it kind of floods in of, oh, my God, people run the government that really killed 3,000 people. And, I mean, these are wild men to pull off something of this daring in front of everyone. I mean, these people, what else are they capable of?
Yeah, that's a good question, but I like to think that we're still in the majority, Alex, and this, the American people and the people of the world who are genuinely honest and interested in survival still have a chance, in my opinion, so we need to get the word out.
Well, I know this. I mean, about every few weeks I wake up 3, 4 a.m. covered in sweat thinking about 9/11, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm this prominent person fighting murderers who will just kill 3,000 people like that to get power and to be able to launch wars. And it's real. I mean, they really did it, and it just hits me like a ton of bricks, and I've got to just literally cry out to God for support or I couldn't continue on. Stay there, Kevin Ryan. We appreciate your courage. All right, folks, we are here back live with Kevin Ryan. Phone calls on 9/11 Truth, government-sponsored terror, you name it, coming up in the next segment at 1-800-259-9231. I see Betty, Don, and many others that want to speak to our guest, Kevin Ryan, formerly with Underwriting Laboratories, an engineer who found out about all this stuff. And look, I mean, you can't. Dealing with reality, you can't just say, well, it's too scary to know it's an inside job. I'm just going to say it's not true. I mean, that is a lot to deal with. And I've had to deal with it. You know, I had to tell you about the attacks before they happened. So they're going to, so the feds are going to go after the World Trade Center. I could see them on TV preparing the public. I mean, it doesn't take a mathematician to understand this stuff, but here we are. So Kevin, continuing with your awakening, the evidence, NIST is all over the map now. And then that really key research you've done on the thermite with Dr. Stephen Jones and others.
Right. So Dr. Jones came on the scene in 2005 and was just a very strong scientific, credible scientific speaker in terms of what he was finding. And since then, Dr. Jones and myself and others have proven beyond question, I think, and others before us, that the towers and World Trade Center 7 were brought down with explosives. There's no question about that. The additional information was the development of the thermite or thermite theory from Dr. Jones, and that's because he was able to find residues and test them and show that they were chemically identical to the residues from thermite explosions.
And by the way, separately, the government's own reports buried in the data was the sulfidation and other chemical interactions,
right,
that he has separately found in his own research. So a lot of what you guys have done is seconded in the real government research, not just the official spin they put out.
Absolutely. It's supported by official reports of various kinds. But then we started looking into what are called nanothermites, and these are more explosive versions of thermite that are built around components that are on the nano scale, so nano aluminum and sometimes also nano metallic powders, metallic oxides, that are mixed with the nano aluminum. And they, there's one reason that these are very useful, in my view. They ignite at much lower temperatures. They are explosive, very much so. And also, they create fire, as I suggested, where fire would not otherwise have existed. They're also applicable to this situation in that if you look at where the fireproofing upgrades and the elevator work was done in the 2 years before 9/11, you find out that the floors where fireproofing upgrade was done match up very Very well, almost exactly, if not exactly, with the floors of impact and fire and failure, or so-called failure, in the towers. And so that,
I mean, that shows massive forethought and just sickening premeditated nature.
Really, and so that just, you know, it becomes an easy path almost when you look at that and you say, well, a very strong part of the theory now is that nanothermites were, which are sprayable, can be coated. They're coatings.
And the workers even think they're putting on new fireproofing.
I think it's very possible that the idea is that they could be told that it's intumescent paint, which is a fireproofing type of paint, or other types of fireproofing materials. And even the Port Authority's consultant, Burrell Happold, an engineering company from the United Kingdom, suggested to them at the time when they're doing these upgradings that they use alternative materials. So they didn't explain what those alternative materials are.
And it would sure help if it was a spook building with every major federal intelligence agency in it, and it magically was the government's command bunker.
Yeah, World Trade Center 7 had some very interesting tenets, that's for sure.
CIA, FBI, Defense Intelligence.
Yeah, so we look more into these nanothermites, and I've been making them, actually. Been making them now. I made a couple of formulations that were published by Lawrence Livermore National Labs, and I've been examining a lot of the World Trade Center dust samples and looking in surprise, I guess, at how similar these materials look when you look at them under a microscope.
And then NIST, and we're going to come back in a long segment, and I want you to break this down slowly, sir. It just so happens that NIST has been acting like they don't know what you're talking about, but they happen to have some nanothermite experts working there.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And it's amazing who the president appointed to the head to lead NIST during the investigation. We can talk about that when you're ready.
Yeah. Well, since they're such explosive thermite experts with NASA, why don't we? I mean, have you had a chance to talk face to face with these nice people? Because I know you go to some of these events. I want to hear about this with Kevin Ryan, the engineer, who's bringing down the New World Order lie. Stay with us. This is so important, folks. Call your friends.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
He's with Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. He works with Dr. Stephen Jones and others. There's several different organizations, but we'll put up some of the websites on screen if you want to learn more. We were trying to give out some websites before we went to break, Kevin Ryan, for people to look at the explosive nanothermite you've made that mirrors the government programs. We know the Pentagon's worked with this, NASA's worked with this, and the folks at NIST should know all about it, because just so happens, of only maybe 10 experts in the world, you've got a couple of them that just so happen to be given the investigation. So I would imagine they want to work with you, since this is their line, their specialty, their signature. We know they want to help America capture the terrorist. So, Kevin, continue with the spheres themselves, and then, lo and behold, top experts in the world involved running the cover-up, investigation. Kevin Ryan, please continue, because we're really getting close now, aren't we?
I think so. And if you go to the Journal of 9/11 Studies, I published a paper, one of my own papers was published there, called The Top 10 Connections Between NIST and Nanothermites. And it steps through the top 10 connections.
Give that site out for folks. We're going to put it on screen.
It's the Journal of 911Studies.com, Journal of 911Studies.com.
All right, we got it on screen. Please continue.
And I think the paper is from July of this year, but it steps through an explanation of nanothermites, and it talks about how NIST was working with Lawrence Livermore National Laboratories as early as 1999, I believe earlier than that, but that documentation is important. But you can get all the references from this paper. You don't have to take my word for it. Step through it and see that NIST is very closely working on nanothermites. And they had people like Foreman Williams, who is their lead engineer on their advisory committee and also was the biggest engineering expert for Popular Mechanics. And he is an expert on just these sorts of materials.
So he's the Hearst publishing expert.
Yeah, I suppose. That's Popular Mechanics is a Hearst publication.
Same folks that said you supply the pictures also supply the war.
Yeah. Yeah, the yellow journalism. So
I mean, you know, we always joke and say, in the encyclopedia, next to the word dumbass, there's a picture of you. But, I mean, literally, in the encyclopedia, next to yellow journalism is a picture of them.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, a lot of people still believe it, what they say. And that's just a matter of being able to close your mind enough to buy what you were already going to buy.
Well, they're clearly operatives. Please continue.
Well, you know, there's Science Applications International, which is a very large engineering consulting and other defense consulting company that was very heavily involved in the NIST investigation, and they're experts on this sort of material. They also first investigated the 1993 World Trade Center bombing.
Oh.
And it was their analysis that kind of produced those responsible, the official story. They were also responsible for helping out with the security upgrades at the World Trade Center in the late 1990s. So this Science Applications International, SAIC, company is connected in every possible way. They're connected through their former employees, Jerome Hauer and Stephen Hatfield, to a number of things like the anthrax incidents and the Rudy Giuliani administration. But these directors of NIST are most interesting to me. One of them is Arden Demetz, who is a materials expert and metallurgist. So, I mean, this is right up his alley. He's a former Deputy Secretary of Defense and former director of DARPA's materials office, former executive at TRW. And there's just all sorts of connections. Battelle, he's a director of Battelle, which is an organization that manages the national laboratories, including Fort Detrick and Lawrence Livermore. And
all these Thermate experts, they're just directing giant companies, but they are coming in to help with the 9/11 investigation. Isn't that nice of them?
Absolutely. October 2001, right after the attacks, is when George W. Bush nominated Beamon to be the head of NIST. When Beamon was ready to move on, which is a few years later, Bush nominated Hratch Simurgian to be his replacement. He was the director of NIST Chemical Division, and he is somebody who is a nanothermite expert and wrote 10 papers with the world's leading nanothermite expert, Michael Zachariah, used to be a NIST employee as well.
Wow, you'd think that this is like a class get-together of world thermite experts.
Well, I don't know, but there certainly are enough of them that you could make the
suggestion. Is this a thermite or thermate convention going on? I mean,
Alex, to be serious, it's really apparent that these people were hired and brought into the investigation because they knew what not to look for. They knew what to avoid looking at. And they certainly did that. There was no testing per the national standard for fire investigation.
But it's more than that. I mean, who are you going to find in government who you can bring in to investigate something that's clearly an inside job? I mean, who do you bring in? You bring in people you know you can trust, people who were.
Yeah. Yeah, very possible.
I know you go to some of these events. I mean, do you ever have a chance to come over and get a hold of their hand and look in their eyes?
I haven't spoken to any of them directly, but, you know, I sent a very polite and professional letter to them back in 2004. Never got a reply other than being fired, and have made several polite requests for discussions and have been turned down multiple times by NIST. So, I don't want to go to their homes or, go to their offices necessarily. Oh, maybe I do, but I haven't done that yet.
Are there any other thermite experts that are all crowding around the investigation?
Well, I'm really interested in also people who were working on novel fireproofing, right? So we're talking about what alternative fireproofings may have been involved and how they could be related to nanothermite coating. So Richard Gann, who was the guy who actually did the final editing for the NIST report, he was one of the top people, was working on a novel fireproofing project for a couple of years before 9/11, and he involved some of the world's leading experts on nanothermites.
You're working with fireproofing. You go out and hire
Right.
Nanothermite explosive experts.
Oh, that's, yeah.
That's how you coat the towers to make sure they don't burn.
Well,
or explode.
It's a very strong theory at this point, and if your listeners go to 9/11 Blogger, I put up a blog piece that has a slideshow of 26 micro photos. They're from a microscope, and you can see that half of them are nanothermite residues from materials I've made and ignited, and then the residues look identical or very nearly identical to the magnetic portion of the World Trade Center dust. So there's these red-orange chips, there's all these spheres, there's other types of molten formations, there's these vesicular formations, clearly the remnants of an explosion.
The slag.
Yeah, the slag material. So if you look at this slideshow at 9/11 Blogger, I think it'll be, and people like pictures, so we're unfortunately to some extent becoming almost an image-only society.
I assume we won't even use our thumbs, we'll just eat out of a McDonald's feed bag.
So I'm trying to reach out to the people who are more compelled by images than all the writing I've done, which is something for people who do a lot of reading. These are long essays that I write, but they are interesting. But the photos are just really compelling. If you take a look at those, I think you'll see what I'm trying to say here. And apart from the photos and the writing, there is a large group of scientists now around the United States and in Europe, and in several laboratories in Europe, that are doing chemical and physical tests on the World Trade Center dust particles that we're finding. And, there's some fairly well conclusive papers being written, led by Stephen Jones at this point and others, some newer, younger research scientists and some in Europe.
Well, Kevin Ryan, I want to get into that and take some calls, but I'll tell you what really let me know 2 years ago that you guys were onto something. The way the media attacks you and the way operatives, who I was already watching in the 9/11 Truth Movement, savagely went after you and Jones, they really showed who they were. The establishment is scared to death of this thermite research. And then now as you dig deeper in, and the who's who of explosive thermite and special fire coating are all bivouacked, cloistered around this, acting suspicious, and the NIST reports are all frauds. I mean, my God, we're dealing with some hardcore individuals here. And I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, you've got a lot of courage, my friend, and the people involved with you do, because I mean, this is the biggest whodunit ever, and we know now. I mean, this is, I mean, there isn't a grand jury out there that wouldn't call for a further investigation of this. I mean, these people are just wicked. To know that you guys have done the research that's got you one step away from having your hands on the perpetrators, that has got to really be bracing.
Yeah, just take a look at a three-way crossroads, and that is who had access to the buildings, who had access to the technologies, and who was involved in the cover-up. If you look at those three groups and try to find connections, and you'll find a good deal of connections.
Oh my
God.
And
I think we'll start to find our culprits.
Well, I mean, what's so incredible, folks, we're on the air right now giving you just proof on a silver platter. And this is just the scientific evidence. And then, these former deputy defense heads and, all these spooks in a spook building, Building 7, all of this going on. Then you've got the firefighters and police saying, get back, we've been told they're bringing it down. And Silverstein slipping up and saying, we gave the order to bring it down and gave the order, watch it come down, to pull it. We have all the videos of cops live saying get back, not just the eyewitnesses now saying, yeah, I was a cop or I was a firefighter or I was an emergency worker, and they said, it was on the radio, a countdown. And then I remember hearing on the news they were going to blow up 7. They go, nope, we never said that. It fell on its own. I mean, this is incredible, Kevin Ryan. I mean, this is amazing. We have them. We have them, and I guess they're just counting on the public not being able to deal with the horror. And believe me, it horrifies. I mean, how did you deal with this? I mean, I know you're a scientist, an engineer, but how did you deal with it as the evidence just piles on the evidence? And then you're dealing with mass murderers here.
Yeah, it was an incredible shock for me in 2003 when I got it. And, Yeah, I started working very heavily on investigating it myself and asking a lot of questions of people I knew. And of course, it was a serious blow to me to get fired from my job, and I had to take some time and take care of my family first before continuing. But it's been recently in the last year or two just something that I know needs to be done. Okay, we know we have to figure out what happened. We have to communicate as much of it as we possibly can. And that's what we can do. And okay, you know, like you said, you ask God for help, and if that helps you and it does help me, then that's what you do. And you just continue on doing the best you can.
No, literally, I would collapse if it wasn't for the higher power. And people can laugh at that out there, but I guess they haven't been in this type of psychological adversity to be coldly looking at the facts. I mean, Kevin, as you know, there's over 200 declassified examples where elements of the government have admittedly staged terror. So, I mean, they do it over and over again. They just did it so big on 9/11. And people say, well, let's just forget about it. It's too horrible. If we leave these people in power, they're unstable. What are they going to do next?
Right. So ultimately, there has to be a transition. There has to be a great change in our society. So we have to take responsibility for that. First of all, we have to take responsibility for the deception in our lives. That's what we're trying to do here. We take responsibility for that. Then we start building a new society. That has to happen. I'm afraid it has to happen. So the most positive approach we can take, but definitely moving forward for ourselves and not expecting the government or whoever, powerful entities, to take care of things for us, because they're going to take care of things for us, but as you say, they're not necessarily on our side.
Well, I mean, you know, $8.5 trillion stolen by offshore banks. They tell Congress you're not allowed to look at it. Bloomberg reports war powers has been declared by the Federal Reserve, is now running the country. We've got open announcements of 20,000 combat troops to be used against the American people. I mean, we're not in Kansas anymore.
Right. Yep. So what can we do? I mean, the things that I can do are investigate the events of 9/11, develop new technologies if possible for a new society. Those are things I'm interested in doing.
Absolutely. We commend you. People need to go get, you guys have now done peer-reviewed studies as well by major scientific journals, have looked at your findings and found them to be accurate, and more are now being reviewed. You put a lot of work into this, you and Stephen Jones and other physicists and architects and engineers. I guess it's now up to the listeners to get these scientific reports and give it to other engineers, friends and family, you know, that are in these fields. Because I really think it's the fact that this scientific debate is what's going to lead to really this being forced out into the open.
Yeah, it has made a difference. It's changing minds in areas that we haven't seen ready to change yet, and that's what the peer-reviewed scientific articles in what we call mainstream journals can do. So we can send those to any mainstream scientists, and they will be usually ready to look at that sort of stuff because it is published in a mainstream journal. It doesn't make them feel as if they're taking a risk to read something like that. So it does help.
Do you think the perpetrators are scared of you guys? I mean, obviously they are, but I mean, they've got to know that they're in trouble. They've got to know that even if they don't ever physically get arrested, that the word's getting out about them.
I don't know if they're afraid or not. Sometimes I wonder, I think, Alex, you've used the word endgame before, and so some of these folks think that it's a game. They're a little bit unconscious, I think, and they're not making decisions as if they're living in the real world with the rest of us. So I don't know really what they think.
Well, that is what Rove said. He said, we are history's actors. We control reality. And, you know, he told the press corps this and said, and we'll just change reality one day, and we'll change it again, and then you'll respond accordingly. Well, I got news for Karl Rove. I'm not going to go along with your phony reality, buddy.
All right. Reality is what it is, and it's our opportunity to find out what that is on our own. And Karl Rove doesn't make reality. I'm sure of that.
Well, I mean, look at Israel. They got repulsed in Lebanon, and now they're in Gaza, and I'm not getting in, you know, debate here about whose side. My point is that look at Napoleon, look at Hitler. The hubris comes to an end. The problem is a lot of times it crushes little people in the process. I want to come back, and I'll keep you 5 minutes after in the next hour if we can, so we can take a few calls. Are you game to do that, to stay another 15 minutes total, sir?
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely.
We'll have you till 5 after next hour. We're going to come back and go to Betty, Don, Dan, and a few others, specifically for Kevin Ryan. He's an engineer. He saw their internal reports about the towers. He tried to go public, and they fired him. Well, thanks to this hero, we're very close to identifying those who were involved in the master planning of the 9/11 attacks. The investigation continues. Stay with us. Kevin Ryan, before I talk to Betty, Don, Dan, and a few others, any other points you haven't added, any other key information that we haven't gone over here with the audience today?
I just wanted to remind people that the nanothermite theory is only part of the demolition theory, and that the World Trade Center is only part of the 9/11 truth movement. So there's a great deal of information people need to continue to investigate, and there's a lot of good books and movies out there that help us with that.
Well, it's classic Black Ops to have different teams, different operations, overkill. They certainly had multiple types of explosives in the towers. They did both the operations unconventionally. But 7 is closer, correct, as an engineer, sir, closer to a classical?
Yeah, it's definitely, it looks very much like a classic demolition. So it was done differently, I would be sure of that. And we need to just get to whatever clues we can find. So when I'm looking at the intersection of people involved and people who had access to technologies and the buildings, and nanothermite residues, we're looking for clues, and we're going to dig those out and expose them as much as possible and then move on.
Well, I think the bigger issue here is, too, psychology. People don't understand a military mind, a commander-level mind. We're going back thousands of years ago. A general would put, 500 of his cavalry or his ground troops to be captured to bring an enemy in so they could then destroy the larger force, knowing that the pawn sacrifice would be killed. And, that's how back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, they had operations like Shad and others where they would nerve gas our own troops to death. And they found a group of doctors who would do that because they believed that the end justifies the means. And so out of that mindset, they've created a military cadres that will do this. Well, America needs to get tough, and we need to stage a terror attack to get the people straight. I'm sad we got to kill 3,000, but it's for America. It was for Israel. And, that's really how you get this type of thing going on. They'd tell them, we got to nerve gas our own troops because the Russians may use it, and the knowledge we gain here may save millions. And so they'd kill our own troops. But really, the test was about creating cadres of Army doctors that would do this type of crap. So let's go to the calls here. Betty in Wisconsin. Betty, you are on the air. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello, Betty.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for Alex Jones Show and the InfoWars and Prison Planner for being there. I got myself a subscription for Christmas. My question is, I'm reading this on the website for Kevin Ryan, a former UL manager, was fired for publicly questioning the NIST report. What
yes.
was that NIST report?
Well, that's what we've been talking about, is this baloney report put out by explosive thermite experts from the Defense Department. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, the NIST is the National Institute of Standards and Technology, so it's a government agency that reports through the Commerce Department. Therefore, its directors are Bush appointees or presidential appointees, and they work directly for the president in that sense. But they are a repository for standards. They do investigations in scientific ways of building failures and many other things.
When Congress gets involved, nothing much happens.
Yeah, well, Congress had a better investigation in 9/11. Then they had the Whitewash Commission appointed by Bush, and they had the nerve to say when they first had Henry Kissinger that it was independent. Your comments on the independent commission, Kevin?
Yeah, I think that the 9/11 Commission is a great thing to look into. Who are these people? I know one of them, James R. Thompson, is a former governor of Illinois. We know how honest the government in Illinois has been. But he was also the chairman of the law firm that UL hired to defend themselves in my lawsuit against them. That was interesting. There are other people like John Lehman who owned an explosives company in the late 90s. So I'm interested in a lot of these people.
Oh, very nice people. Stay there. We'll be right back in 70 seconds. Coming up, and then Tommy Pallotta, the last 40 minutes, good friend of mine, a Hollywood film producer, an expert on new media, to talk about that with us today. Don in Texas. You're on the air with a real American hero. That's right. It's not some football player, though that's enjoyable and fun to watch. So this is a real hero risking his life, his name, losing his job to blow the whistle on the 9/11 inside job, Kevin Ryan. Don from Texas, you're on the air with Kevin Ryan.
Yeah, Kevin, Alex, God bless and keep you both for what you're doing. I saw the Trade Center collapse live on television, knew it for what it was by virtue of my military training in demolitions. And, Kevin, you just asked what we can do as individuals, you know, and you and Alex, you're doing it. We're all called to be therapeutic messengers, and we have the individual power to visualize at a cellular level and resonate what we know to be truth beyond technological means.
Well, we've just got to get the word out, period. And there is that whole 100th monkey that's been proven scientifically where you'll have a research island with monkeys, and as soon as a few of them learn it on this island, they spontaneously pick it up 20 miles away. But, you know, regardless, we're physically getting the info out, and I appreciate your calls. Don, Dan in New York, a final call for Kevin Ryan. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. I was wondering what would be the reasoning for the 9/11 attacks? Like, what were they planning? I know one of them is imperialization of the Middle East. But
actually, Zbigniew Brzezinski and the Grand Chessboard in 97 that was then plagiarized by the PNAC document, September 20th, 2000, Rebuilding America's Defenses, penned by Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld, they're attributed to writing it on their own website, says trillions in no-bid weapons contracts, trillions in oil, unifying the people behind a Pax Americana or global empire. There's got to be an outside threat on the order of Pearl Harbor. Pearl Harbor killed 2,890-something people. So did 9/11. Coincidence? And then we have all these other government documents like Northwoods where they explain, we stage terror attacks, we blame it on foreign enemies as a pretext to take control of society, even declare martial law in America. Kevin Ryan, comments?
Yeah, I think you're right, Alex, and I think we just have to recognize, although it's difficult to believe, that there are people whose greed and whose thirst for power is just more than anything that they can deal with, and that they ended up just destroying everyone else around them. So that appears to be part of the situation with 9/11.
Yeah, they have a raw thirst for power, the raw exercise of power, and we have to have a desire and a thirst for justice. And that's what I have. That's what Kevin Ryan has. And again, Kevin, I'm telling you, people like you are my heroes, man. You are such a hero to my whole family and to millions of people out there listening. I just salute you.
Hey, back at you, Alex. Keep up the good work.
Well, if it wasn't for people like you, they would have already staged more terror attacks, and you do shake them up, buddy. I mean, they expected us to buy their whole fable, and people have it, and we're going to get them in the end. Anything else there, Dan?
What rights do you think Barack Obama is going to attack? I know one of them is going to be the Second Amendment, but what other rights?
It's going to be the whole same agenda, more wars, police state. Look, Bush just passes the baton. Right now they're passing the baton. Obama's, I mean, he's a puppet. Kevin, you want to comment on that?
Well, I would guess that Barack and his administration, Senator Obama, is probably not going to be much different than Senator McCain or Senator Biden or the Bush family. They're largely, I think, the same people. They appear to be nominating the same types of people as have been in power before.
Well,
so,
exactly.
Go ahead.
No, let me go ahead.
I don't expect much change from the path we're on unless we take charge of it ourselves.
I mean, exactly. Congress has been physically threatened with martial law. Senator Inhofe, two other congressmen we talked to, on record. Bloomberg reports we're under war powers. Federal Reserve. I mean, if they're telling Congress they don't run anything, you better believe the president's been told he's a puppet. That's why he was chosen. He's like a front man, a CEO. He's definitely a fellow traveler. Kevin Ryan, thank you so much for all you've done. We'll check out the websites and your great info.
Thank you.
There he goes. Have a good New Year.